The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies /
Ethics
Environment.
Hello.
Is here with us today. How's it going, Jim?
So far, so good. It's a nice day today.
It's pretty nice outside, I gotta say. I was enjoying myself with the chilly weekend, and I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but we did end up going for sort of the kickoff of the haunting season, and we did the zombie paintball, and it was a lot of fun. The kids thought that it was the greatest thing in the world, so they drive you around on a one-sided truck, and you shoot paintballs at extremely well-padded zombies that are trying to attack you. It's a lot of fun.
A Walking Dead kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought about you the other night, Matt, because on HGTV, they were doing, I can't remember whether it was House Hunters or the, Million Dollar House Hunter show. But anyway, it was this couple. All they were really looking for was a house that had a lot of indoor and outdoor room for their Halloween decorations and their Halloween party. And they had like plastic dinosaurs that were 20 feet tall that they put together in the yard and stuff. I thought, this is math.
I will not lie to you. When Leslie and I were doing our house hunting, I may or may not have been scoping the joint just a little bit,
For its Halloween potential?
Or other things, but yes, Halloween potential.
Or haunted potential.
That's right. Professor Mara Livesey is here from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
With Jupiter.
Hello.
With her mostly black cat.
Jupiter just gave the stink eye like nobody's business to the camera.
It is time, or she thinks it's time to eat. So this is about the time of day when she starts being super annoying.
Oh.
On purpose.
Hilarious.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Making sounds like a cat is Professor Beth Oljar from the Department of Philosophy.
Not actually a cat, but, I can make cat sounds now.
Plays one on television.
Exactly. I do.
The last couple recordings, Beth, I don't think any of your fur babies have been in the room with you.
Mia was here for a while when we were doing the first show, but she just left. So, yeah, she's probably in my bedroom now, sleeping on the bed.
Sounds like a nice life.
Life is rough. Like
they sleep and they eat and they have humans who pick up their poop with tiny little shovels. What more could you really
want? Now, do you have a little shelf in the window so they can sit there watching everything going on outside?
Yeah, Mia's bed is right in the window here. They have blankets in windows. Wow. They have beds everywhere.
If there's such thing as reincarnation, can I come back as one of your cats, Beth?
That's what Rosemary said. She wants to be a cat in my house. Probably Mara's too. I imagine.
Yeah, but Mara's starving her cat right about now. Your cats are doing well.
Oh, they're so spoiled with their food.
My cats forget they eat.
My sister-in-law's dog.
Mara, you were saying your cats forget that they eat?
Immediately after they've eaten.
They have no concept of time, right? There's now and never.
Now.
Yeah.
Now and now.
Actually, I was going to make an analogy to trying to raise human children as you put the dishes away from dinner. Dad, I'm hungry. Thank you for that. Oh, that's great. Professor Dave Chow is here from the Department of the Tiny Little Space in his home.
Pleasure to be here, as always. So
excellent. So I saw the drawing of the cat from, I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago. That's the only feline that resides in your home, I think.
Yes, unfortunately. Well, I produce all kinds of other stupid things here, as your eldest son has found out from me already, so.
That's right. We finally had a, Friday nights at the Mayo House, the boys have to do at least a little bit of the planning and the cooking, and we just couldn't handle it. So Joe made pork buns last week, and then Dave supplied him with a sort of cover for a fake bus of Joe Mayo's Pork Bun Company, you know. And
it's the food truck. Yeah, it's the Mayo food truck. So when do we start pinstriping it?
I mean, I'm just telling you, Dave, they did not screw around. They made the dough from scratch. They let it proof. They let it rise. They sauteed all the pork and leeks because onions don't agree with members of our family. And it was fun. It was a ton of fun.
How was it comparable to what I get from Windsor?
Well, Windsor, be honest. Smaller and more compact, I can eat more of those. These were like softball size, so it was substantial.
Okay, but taste wise, it was still good.
Filling,
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and how many did they make total?
Well, that was one of the things because he did do an egg glaze, and they came out. The one thing I'll say is they looked exactly like the ones that you bring back.
Good.
Like just delicious. And he made, I think it was 26. So we were eating them for a few days.
Yeah. A few days? Wait a minute. If I brought you 26, that'd be a few minutes.
That's a lot of pork buns.
So Joe should be a chef. Maybe.
Let me tell you, they heat up like nobody's business.
I'm telling you, Matt, food truck, that boy does not need to go to college. He'd spare you a ton of money and you guys be eating well.
And perhaps he'd give me a discount. That's actually.
I don't know about that now. What, bulk discount?
This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. All right, we've got a wonderful set of questions here from an old friend. Dear professors, below are 20 questions with topics all over the place for your show. I've noticed that a good variety seems to keep the panelists on their toes, and the discussions are quite lively. Thanks for a thoroughly enjoyable and educational half hour every week. Our old friend from Norwalk, Iowa, Rachel Ralston. Thanks for sending those in, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
Okay. What character made their literary debut in the 1924 book When We Were Young was the title. When We Were Young.
Like it's a bit Alice in Wonderland? Oh. I think it's before all of our time.
You're thinking Lifetime Movie Channel there, Mara. So I could give it away very, very quickly without even giving anything that it's a direct contact with. Let's just say that very soon after these books became popular to read to the very young, Walt Disney got wind of it.
Like Pinocchio or
Sleeping Beauty? No.
I'm kind of surprised.
Not Mickey Mouse.
What if I said a last clue here before we'll go forward? This was a recent movie about this character, starring Ewan McGregor as a grown-up version of the boy in the stories.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, it's Winnie
Christopher
the Pooh.
Robin. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, he was also just in Dr. Sleep as the grown-up version of Danny Torrance from
That's
the
That's right. So. He's getting around. Although I got to say, there were some wonderful little mashups on the internet of the imaginary Winnie the Pooh speaking in Star Wars voices as if he was speaking to Obi-Wan Kenobi in the movie, and just warm the cockles of my heart. So 13 states in these great United States do not have a Springfield. Let's talk for just 1 second. How many do you think of the 13 you can get? Sort of name that tune.
Style. Montana.
Montana is one of them.
South Dakota.
I'm sorry, South Dakota is not on the list.
Idaho.
Hawaii.
Hawaii is on the list. Idaho is not on the list. You have two.
Alaska.
Alaska is on the list.
Colorado. Right.
Colorado has a Springfield,
unfortunately. Darn. Okay, it's not Ohio.
Arizona.
Virginia.
Arizona doesn't have a Springfield.
New Mexico.
Yeah, let's go out west.
New Mexico does not have a Springfield.
Go, Jim,
Texas.
Go!
Texas.
Texas has one.
Of course.
Utah.
Utah's a good guess.
Utah is on the list.
What about West Virginia?
You know, I heard you say that before, Beth. I'm sorry. Circling back, West Virginia has a Springfield.
Oh. Darn.
Two other W states.
Washington.
Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Washington and Wyoming don't have Springfields.
Okay.
There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's see if we can get one more.
Tennessee.
Tennessee has a Springfield.
Darn. Okay.
Maine has a Springfield.
Oh. Rhode Island.
Rhode Island does not have a Springfield. Yes. Yeah. The only ones you didn't get are Connecticut, Kansas, Nevada, and Oklahoma for some reason, even though you might have guessed that that had a Springfield.
Nevada?
I would have guessed Connecticut had a Springfield after all Massachusetts does next door.
No, that's right.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
What country is the largest exporter of rice?
U.S.
Vietnam? It
doesn't say that. It says a different country, Jim.
Japan?
Not Japan.
China? Mm-mm. Too obvious.
You already said Vietnam?
Yeah.
Indonesia? India?
Exporter of rice.
It says here that the answer is Thailand. Thailand is the biggest exporter of rice. No other details given, but that does sound, at least geographically speaking, correct. This is actually kind of fun. What was Los Angeles Rams halfback Fred Gehrke's major contribution to the NFL?
The Ram helmet.
That's right.
Yeah, the little squiggle on the side of the head.
So. Yeah, we would expect a graphic artist to know. He was the person who first painted the iconic ram horn on the side of the helmets, making it, for the record, the first decorated helmets in the history of the league. That's kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Oh, the guy.
It's iconic.
Have you guys seen the new one, the new Ram helmet?
Mm-hmm.
It's got different blue on it. It's not too bad.
I had totally forgotten about all these realignments. You know, I visited San Diego for an ACS meeting a few years ago, and I'm like, why does the Chargers stadium look so cobwebby? They're like, they moved to LA. I'm like, oops, forgot about that.
Yeah.
And the Raiders are in Las Vegas now. What famous politician was preceded in office by Jim Lucan and succeeded by Bobby Stern? Classic piece of trivia. Very famous TV personality who just so happened to be a major U.S. city mayor before he became famous.
Jesse Ventura.
No, what's his name that has all the people fighting on the show?
Oh, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer,
Jerry
he was mayor of Cincinnati, wasn't
That's
he?
Right, yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So those were the preceding and post-seeding mayors of Cincinnati. Where is the oldest operating lighthouse on the west coast of the United States located?
Beth?
In Oregon?
You know, it's not. It's going to be south, but not too far south.
So it's in Northern California.
San Francisco.
Big Sur, Monterey.
San Francisco is good, but specifically...
Alcatraz?
Alcatraz, yeah, it's on Alcatraz. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've mentioned it before, so I might as well bring it up again. That's where my wife wanted to go on our honeymoon, so I took her to San Francisco. And she ended up writing her master's thesis on the American Indian is the way they refer to themselves, occupation.
Oh, who occupied them, yeah.
Because she had never seen the graffiti before. And when we went for the visit, we were going for the gangsters and came away with this whole different view of the knowledge of the islands.
Yep. Cool. I am due out there sometime soon, too. So,
great.
I've got cousins that just moved from China there. And supposedly that's where my great-grandfather first came into the States.
Okay.
So I got to go to Angel Island and see if I can find his graffiti. That's all. So
totally agree.
You know, I think when the U.S. government closed the Presidio, that had to become some of the most expensive real estate in the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but have you guys seen some of the pictures, you know, with the fires out there? That looks terrible.
It does.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Orange sky.
But it's just a blue state, Dave. I mean, really, who cares? They haven't swept their forest floors.
They don't count, right? Yeah.
The way we do, they do in some Scandinavian country.
Finland, yes.
That's it. Thank you.
What was the name of the actor who played multimedia sensation Max Headroom?
Matthew Frewer.
Matt Frewer was his name. Yes, Matt Frewer.
Love that show back in the day.
Absolutely love that show. Yeah, I watched that when I was a kid.
Was it Jeffrey Tambor, Amanda Pays, and mm-hmm. who are some of those other people that were in that show?
just kind of an interesting oral history to hear about something that was invented to sell Pepsi becoming popular enough to have its own sort of side empire.
Yeah.
Who was the first, I don't know if I've ever heard this trivia before, who was the first American who won the Nobel Peace Prize? Huh.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, it says it's Teddy Roosevelt. Jim, you knew that, but I've never heard that before.
Yeah, the Peace Prize for getting a treaty to end the Sino-Russian War.
That's right. That's right.
Because the Spanish-American War is her war, right? So
that's
I'm guessing
her big wars.
Yep. She's a fan of TR, as so many of us are.
I would say so. I think I've mentioned before, I'm lucky, even though I don't know much more than this sentence, that I guess my great-grandfather rode with the Rough Riders in the Philippines in particular. And so he would have known the Big Cheese and lots of interesting stories that I regret letting my grandparents pass without asking them. So we'll have to go into the annals of history some other time to find out whether it's true or not.
So you guys must have loved the Roosevelts, right? The Ken Burns.
Right. Oh, yeah, Ken Burns. Anything Ken Burns.
Watch that. Anything by him, really. Except I haven't seen baseball.
It's lost.
I'm not really a baseball fan.
It doesn't. No.
Matter.
Yeah.
I'm not a country music fan, but his series on country music was wonderful.
You know, it's the storytelling. It's not the subject necessarily.
Yeah, it's the storytelling.
He was this iconic American, you know, jazz and
Civil War.
And so, yeah, I probably should watch it.
I know that I'm possibly even getting a little bit too deep into my psyche here, but it's true that every X number of years, I just wake up one morning and go, got to rewatch the Civil War.
Yeah.
Go to the DVDs and, you know, by the end of the day, it's Mary Chestnut all over again.
Vietnam. Boy, that one was good. Drew and I.
Oh.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. What is the waist measurement in feet for the Statue of Liberty?
Good grief.
Big girl.
30.
You know, Jim. Yeah, you know, it's 35. I'm just giving it to you. See, Mara has been corrupted by the 13,000 mile.
3,700.
35 feet. I mean, that's
can't
big.
Stop.
That's very big.
It's so creepy at the very end of The Man in the High Castle when they destroy the Statue of Liberty, because, of course, the Nazis would.
Of course they would.
Yeah. They're Nazis. No. I always think of Planet of the Apes. I mean, the original movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's just this damn depressing.
Mm-hmm. Who was the first individual who was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II? Now, she's been around a while.
So it'd be the 50s.
Winston Churchill.
Nope, it doesn't say that.
Who was?
Anthony Eden.
Well, this, if I remember correctly, this was a very famous explorer.
Sir Edmund Hillary.
It was Edmund Hillary was the first person, yes.
Okay, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. I love how Dave immediately went to the decade. I was like, all right.
Well, awesome. Because I always love the fact that she's like the last, you know, ruler to actually fight in the war herself.
Right.
The fact
she
that
became
she like
in 52, but wasn't crowned until 53.
That's right.
Yeah, but the fact that she drove a Jeep, I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's
a truck.
She's yeah, exactly. Truck.
Well, and her parents, I mean, George VI, right, and Queen Mary, I think that the fact that they remained in Britain with the girls and didn't go to Canada was quite, you know, something that the British people found quite uplifting. And of course, they were, you know, the very models of bravery and
And then her kids and her grandkids are also enlisted as well. So, I mean, I think that says something.
And like her mom said, after Buckingham Palace got bombed, well, now I can look the EastEnders in the eye. You know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they didn't run away when they easily could have.
I will probably bias you when I introduce this question by saying it could be just a little depressing. What is the country of Brazil's largest private employer?
What, like Exxon or something like that?
No, I think you need to get a little darker.
It's a drug cartel, probably.
No, arguably, possibly darker than a drug cartel. Brazil is a massive country.
Wait, okay, now this isn't, it can't be Amazon.
Well, you know, if it was the error bars like we do for our numbers, I'd give it to you. It's McDonald's.
No. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say Amazon in Brazil. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. You know, it doesn't. It doesn't.
But yes. There are French fries.
Yes.
Yesterday on the news, they were reporting on the uptick in cases of COVID-19 in Russia. And the reporter was in Moscow, and there was a KFC right behind him next to the Kremlin.
They're all over. Thanks.
Oh, my.
Capitalism will win in the end.
Hey, all these people have something in common. And if you think really hard about maybe what they look like, what they've done, it'll come to you. Hugh Jackman, Molly Ringwald, Tony Hawk, Gillian Anderson, Mary Lou Retton.
They're not all short because Tony Hawk's kind of tall and lanky.
Hugh Jackman is just, you know, eye candy.
Hey, so is Molly Ringwald to me too, okay? I mean,
yeah, and so is Gillian Anderson.
Oh yeah, true, yeah.
Golly.
They like fitness.
You know what? They were all born in 1968. They're essentially the same age.
Good grief. Okay.
No way.
Yeah. So they're 2 years younger than me.
Yep. Oh, this is actually kind of fun. It's been a while since we've had something this fun show up, even as an individual question. I'm going to say four words. You have to tell me what these things are. They all basically have something in common that is their definition. Josta, Chime, Sunbolt, DNL.
They're all delivery companies?
Well, wasn't Sunbolt... That was a drink back in like the 90s, wasn't it?
That's right. You know what? They're all failed pops is what they are.
Oh, okay.
No way.
So Josta was Pepsi's product that featured the stimulant guarana, if you remember, and got taken off the market almost immediately. Chime was Coke's chance to take over for Dr. Pepper because nobody knows what goes into Dr. Pepper, and that failed. Sunbolt.
Hey, I love it.
I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to be Coke? Do you want to be root beer? Pick one.
Well, as my aunt said, you know, it's kind of like a cherry Coke. Dr. Pepper is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dave, you mentioned that you recognized Sunbolt. Do you remember what it was?
Was it the Mountain Dew derivative or something like that? I'm trying to remember.
It's close. You know what? It was caffeinated Gatorade.
Ooh.
And I do have a great story for those who care. DNL, if you write it upside down, is 7-Up. So DNL was 7-Up with caffeine. That's all it was. Oh. And my wife and I purchased it because we were purchasing 7-Up. And we're like, this 7-Up like tastes the best 7-Up that we've ever had. And we look at the can and I'm like, what is this? And I'm telling you, caffeine has a weird effect on human beings. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
It changes everything.
What was it called again?
Mountain Dew's got a lot of it.
DNL. DNL. Okay. Which two Supreme Court judges were nominated by President Bill Clinton?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of them.
Yeah.
And let me think. Not Sotomayor.
Breyer? No.
Mm-mm.
Was it Kennedy?
I'm sorry. Actually, Beth, I think you got it. It's a little bit of a lag here. You said Breyer, didn't you?
Yeah.
Stephen Breyer.
Stephen Breyer. Yep. Mm-hmm. We can hardly forget RBG. Breaking down even more barriers today, there's a piece of trivia that literally just happened.
The first woman and the first Jew ever to lie in state in the Capitol. Yep.
That's incredible.
I was thinking, why did he pick that venue to go and pay his respects when he knew that everybody in that line was going to dislike the fact that he was there?
Right.
Good question, I suppose. But anywhere he goes.
And just the way he slinked back, I mean, I actually felt some sympathy for him because, like, to be that reviled at that event, I mean, he just kind of like, yeah, it's literally like watching that Homer Simpson thing where he kind of fades back into the bushes.
We probably shouldn't be having a political conversation when all of this is going to be broadcast.
Yeah. Hey, my wife just finished reading a book, not too surprisingly, about history, American colonial and early American history, which U.S. president was very well known for having a dog named Satan.
John Quincy Adams. No, John Adams.
It was John Adams. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like something that he and Abigail would have decided on. It's Abigail that probably named him.
Oh,
probably.
I love my wife very dearly. She is the reason that single-handedly that when you go to impulse buys that have books, that there's at least one history book there, because we're just checking out at Meijer and she goes, now I'm reading about the Adamses. I'm like, cause of course you are, you know, I mean, it's...
Has she seen the mini, have you guys seen the mini series, John Adams?
Oh my gosh. Paul Giamatti. Is that, that right?
And Laura Linney. It's just amazing.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
But the surgery scene is just.
I can do without surgery.
Yes.
We have just a couple minutes left and a couple questions left, and these have been really great, Rachel. So thanks for sending them in. Which talk show host had Jefferson Airplane's Grace Slick utter the first live F-bomb on American television?
David Letterman.
Grace Slick. That what? Like early Johnny Carson, Jack Parr.
Might have been Dick Cavett.
It was Dick Cavett, yeah. Okay. Dick Cavett. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand when I was growing up when Dick Cavett was on some game show or something. I was like, so what does this guy do? And my mom's like, give me a minute.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like
does stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like David Frost. I mean, yes. You know, he was just a glorified host.
He was an intellectual talk show host.
Yeah.
I just couldn't process. So no sports, no TV,
no
movie. No. Does remind me of one of my favorite Simpsons jokes, though. In the spinning newspaper to reveal headline that moves the plot forward, in the lower right corner was Dick Cavett born today. I thought that was pretty good.
But I mean, you know, he would have all these intellectuals on the, like Weymouth Buckley on there and hold his own, you know, in conversation with
them.
So here we go. We can wrap these questions and this show up with another piece of trivia that I'm never going to forget. I think this is fascinating. The first Canadian inducted into the American Baseball Hall of Fame, Chatham, Ontario's Fergus Jenkins, what year was it?
89.
I have to give it to you for that. It was 1991 was the first time the Canadian.
I remember, he pitched high as a kite, too.
I'm just thinking, you know, at the time we at least have the Blue Jays and the Expos, and you know, there's a ton of baseball happening in Canada, but it took all the way till the 90s to get someone inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember, who did he play for? Was it Philadelphia or something like that? I can't remember. He wasn't pitching for a Canadian team.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. I'm just thinking of, you know, Canadian contributions to baseball here.
Yeah.
Those questions were fantastic, Rachel. You always put together quite a great group. But unfortunately, we have reached the end of our show. So the time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Mara.
Bye.
Jim.
Sayonara.
And Dave.
See ya.
All these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.